The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jewish people do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandoned the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. One of the things that I love about going back to Minnesota and staying with my parents is our morning coffee and breakfast time. My parents, believe it or not, still subscribe to the Star Tribune, the Minneapolis newspaper, on a daily basis. And I love it. Right? Because it creates this wonderful time around the table together, drinking coffee and reading the newspaper. It has become a symbol of my vacation when we go back to Minneapolis. However, the first morning we were in Minnesota, I came downstairs and saw the morning headline. It read, "Report, Pennsylvania priests molest over 1,000 children." I'm sure our own Missoulian paper ran a similar headline here, too. My heart sank. The article detailed a Pennsylvania grand jury report that spread over 60-plus years. Some accusations came from the 1940s. And documents multiple priests in dioceses across the state of Pennsylvania who were found to have molested young children who were part of their parishes or their community. Nothing in my mind can be more profoundly evil than an authority figure, especially one that represents an institution tasked with living out the gospel of Jesus Christ, who clearly harms and violates a life for their own satisfaction or gain. And furthermore, if this report's claims are true, it is even more repugnant that an institution tasked with living out the gospel of Jesus Christ failed in living out and addressing these serious and inexcusable behaviors. And I found myself, I've continually been thinking throughout my vacation in Minnesota and even following my return to Montana of the families of these victims. As a new father myself, I can't imagine what the parents of these children had to go through, who are presently going through still. I think it's easy for us, especially here at OSLC, to put this solely on perhaps the Catholic Church, right? Well, we might think that's the Roman Catholic Church's problem. We're Lutheran. We know better than that. Well, as our own ELCA Bishop of Montana, Jessica Crist, wrote this past week, she writes, "As much as we wish it were not so, this evil was limited to the Catholic, was not limited to the Catholic Church. While not on the same scale, sexual exploitation in religious circles has affected almost all religious groups to a greater or lesser extent. And we, the ELCA, are not exempt. We who believe that we are simultaneously saints and sinners know that human beings are subject to sin." Given this context, perhaps Jesus' words today in our gospel strike a little bit of a different tone. "Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile." It's interesting how in many ways Jesus and his disciples are actually arguably the confrontational ones here. It seems like you could argue, well, why not, right? Why not wash your hands before every meal? It seems like a very minor practice to take the Sadducees and the Pharisees to task on, right? And we in the 21st century forget that a lot of Jewish law was there not just to respect the divine, but to also help govern good hygiene and living together as community. And washing yourself before every meal wasn't just for giving honor to the creation that this food came from or the blessings from God, but also to protect you from getting sick. You know, even though the ancient Israelites didn't have microscopes, they still found a correlation about being clean and getting sick. And many customs that are laid out in our scripture readings, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, actually have this similar two-part meaning to it. In short, this Jewish custom doesn't really seem all that obstructive, but for ancient communities, it served a purpose. So thus, Jesus is clearly trying to make a bigger point than just eating food with dirty hands. Thus, if all we do and say from this text is, well, Jesus is the Son of God and can do whatever he wants, and then blame the Pharisees for trying to trap Jesus, then I think we turn this text into something quite cheap. Because at the end of the day, this text is not about eating with dirty hands. This text is about being authentic. Pastor and blogger Rob McCoy writes, "Jesus cares more about the heart of the law than the literal letter of the law. He cares more about people than with tradition. We in the church," he writes, "who sometimes hide behind how it's always been done, even at our own peril, tend to forget that." If you were to express, I want to play a little game here. If you were to express in one word or phrase, what does being Christian mean to you? What would it be? And just throw it out. Just don't think too hard about it. What would it be?
Tolerance.
Love, tolerance, forgiving,
intentional,
kind. All wonderful, wonderful, powerful words, right? The Barna Research Group, a pollster that does a lot of polling in the church and beyond the church, did a recent study that asked this similar question. What word or phrase best describe Christianity today? 91% of non-Christians, they found, ages 16 to 29, used the word anti-homosexual as their first word of choice. 80%, the same study found, of self-identified churchgoers of the same age group used the same word as their first choice. You want to know what the next popular words, phrases were, respectively, in this study? Judgmental, number two. Hypocritical, number three. And too involved in politics, number four. Pew Research found a record 27% of the United States population could classify themselves this year as spiritual but not religious. Yet if you ask, do you believe in a God or participate in some kind of religious practice in your life? Close to 90% of our country says yes. In the words of one researcher that I found wrote, it is becoming clear that a large portion of the United States is seeking some form of spiritual fulfillment, yet is growingly disgusted with an inauthentic church that is shrouded in sexual abuse, judges character in hypocritical ways, and assists them to elect officials who don't care about them. After reading that, a piece of me wants to say, who blames them, right? Yeah. Who blames them? For dare I say, most of this country's population, especially young adults, being a Christian means something almost completely opposite to what probably most of us in this room would see as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians are seen in many ways as inauthentic, non-genuine people who disregard the love that Jesus proclaimed. Not only then does the headline that I read back in Minnesota reveal the countless atrocities that were committed by church leaders, and the countless number of victims that need justice, but it also further cements a definition in the wider population's mind about what it means to be Christian, which is utterly frightening. In other words, it makes our job harder. Listen to me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. So what do we who remain Christian do? How do we preach a different gospel of genuine authenticity, of acceptance and love? Well, perhaps the book of James can help us from our New Testament reading today. For it says, be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. That is scripture right there. How can we strive to be authentic doers of the word? John Lund, pastor of Emmaus Campus Ministry, who led worship here last week, actually, while I was in Minnesota, once I remember responded to a question of how to engage young people in faith. And his answer was this: Lutheran Christians can't be afraid anymore of going public. Everything we must do must be made public. A public, he argues, authentic faith that cares for more about people and the world versus strictly the rules is what it's all about. There's a church in Portland, Oregon, August Anna Lutheran Church. Some of you may have heard of it. Takes being public to a whole new level. Pastor Mark Knutson does a press release on specific issues every single quarter. Isn't that amazing? Every quarter, August Anna discerns the next step on multiple issues: immigration, hunger, climate change, homelessness. And upon coming up with a concrete next step on an issue, Pastor Mark gets as many church members as he can to stand on the steps in front of the church, and then he grabs a bunch of ecumenical partners to stand with him, and they give a press conference to the local news. And because, more often than not, August Anna Lutheran's reputation is respected, meaning that they usually are able to do what they say they are going to do at their press conference, these press conferences are normally run on the evening broadcast news. Be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. What does our call to be an authentic public Christian witness look like in our context today? Maybe it's not going to be a press conference, but maybe it sure could be sharing our facility with an after-school program, or showing up and being a partner in Bonner Community Council discussions, or helping tutor and mentor a child at Bonner School. We as a community are tasked with going against the grain, of showing up in unexpected places, of loving others when no one else will love them. Not because we need to make a good name for Christians again, but because that is what Jesus would do. And we are his followers, following him as authentically as we can. So whatever it is, may we as a community of faith be able to show up and authentically share our commitment to the God of all publicly. May we be able to say unequivocally, you belong and are safe here, no matter who you are, because God made you who you are. May we be able to break through and take a stand for genuine love, justice, and freedom. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.